The district that delivers drinking water to many homes and businesses around Humboldt Bay has more water than it can use, which is a rare statement in California these days, but it bears further examination. It's not so much a drought story as a water rights story. The Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District has right to more water than it is currently able to use because some previous former customers are no longer operating, and so the difference between consumption and right is vast at the moment. If the condition continues, the district could conceivably lose some of its water right. To explain all the ins and outs, we have two guests with us from the district. Paul Heliker is the brand new director. Paul, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Alderon Laird's with us once again. He's a board member at the Water District. Hi, Alderon.
Hi.
Paul, give us some of the basics on how many people are served by the district and what the source of the water is.
The source of the water is from the Mad River, one of the watersheds here in Humboldt County, and we serve 7 customers in the municipal arena, plus some direct retail customers, overall a population of about 90,000 people.
All right, so it's not an insignificant population, but what's the usage in gallons, for example, and what you're entitled to be able to use?
In terms of daily use, it's about 10 million gallons per day, and that translates on an annual basis if you convert that to acre feet, which is 325,000 gallons, to about 11,000 acre feet per year. That's what our cities and commercial customers use right now. We have rights to 84,000 acre feet per year, so that's the difference that we've been looking at.
Wow, so more than 7 times what the current consumption level is.
That's right.
Wow, that's a lot. Alderon, so the basic issue then is that you've got this right that's much bigger than what the usage is.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Paul, this is not a typical situation for anywhere in California right now, is it?
No, there are other districts that have water supply that's adequate for this year, mostly along the coast, along the north coast. But generally in California, if you look at Lake Shasta or Lake Oroville, they're down now to historic levels of depletion. So we are fairly fortunate here in the North Coast to have extra water.
And what accounts for the difference? I mean, at one time you were using a lot closer to what your water right was, weren't you?
Yes, the district was originally formed to generate water supply to provide water for 2 pulp mills on the waterfront here in Arcata Bay. And those pulp mills operated for a number of years, and then the first one closed in the mid-90s, and then the second one closed in the 2000s. And so the water that was used by those pulp mills is now currently just reserved in storage, or we also have a hydropower plant that uses some of that water, and it flows down the Mad River and provides some habitat benefits.
So in the absence of people using the water, it just comes down the river and off to the ocean?
Yeah, and of course that provides benefit for various species. We do have some endangered and threatened species in the Mad River that we want to protect.
Alderon Laird, you've been on the board for a while now, and obviously predate Paul's time as director. He is, no kidding, brand new here. How long has it been an issue for the board, and then what kinds of solutions have been discussed among board members up to this point?
We've been working on this probably for the last 6 to 8 years, and about 6 years ago we formed a Citizens Advisory Committee just to educate the public around Humboldt Bay about this surplus of water rights that we have and to sort of vet some ideas with the community as to what we could do with that water to see whether or not the community was receptive to some of the ideas. And so, the 3 main ideas of how to use the water rights that we're not using right now would be, one would be to dedicate some of those water rights for in-stream fisheries benefits. There's a mechanism under the California water law to be able to do that if you control the water and have a water right. The other would be to try to encourage some new businesses to relocate to the Humboldt Bay region to take up the slack left by the pulp mills that need a good, reliable fresh water source. And then the third option was looking at selling water to another water agency on the north coast of California and either transporting the water via maritime transport in tankers or by pipeline. And so those 3 ideas were vetted with the community, and everybody was relatively comfortable with that. The highest priority, of course, was to use the water with hopefully a new business that would come to the region. And then after that, dedicating in-stream flows. But we don't generate revenues from in-stream flows, and so we looked at exporting water to another water agency to get more revenue.
Is there any discussion of just letting the water right curtail? And what would it ratchet down to? Would it ratchet down to somewhere around your current usage?
Well, if we don't find a new customer and we don't dedicate our in-stream flows for fisheries, we would release enough water from Ruth Reservoir, which is in the upper end of the watershed, to supply our municipal customers. And that's about 15 CFS of water that would run down the river, and we would divert that at about River Mile 8 to go to our municipal customers. So there would be a significant decrease in the summertime flows in about 75 miles of river compared to what we've been doing historically. And there would be, a substantial decrease in water going to the estuary. So we're really hoping that if we don't find a customer, that we are able to dedicate some amount of in-stream flows, perhaps the amount that we used to deliver to the mills, to use that for fishery purposes during the low-flow period. So the Mad River could become a refugia for listed coho and chinook and steelhead species.
All right, so if the water isn't moving down the river for customer use or for in-stream flows, then you're talking about a very different river then.
Yeah, completely different river, a river that most people living on it for the last 60 years wouldn't recognize. It would be not much different than the other rivers in this area that go dry during the low-flow season, like the Van Dusen and Redwood Creek and some of the others.
We're talking about the situation with water rights at the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District with Alderon Laird, the board member you just heard. Paul Heliker is the new director at the district. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone around the region, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Paul, was coming up with solutions part of the process of you getting hired as the director at the district?
Well, it's certainly one of my responsibilities is to help take the next step and figure out what we can do to maintain our water right. Use the water locally as a preference. So, yes, that's one of the things that was part of the discussion.
You came, I believe, from the California Department of Water Resources. Is that right?
I was there the last couple of years, yes.
Mm-hmm. And to your knowledge, is there any other place in California that has this kind of a situation?
Not that I know of. Like I said, there are other water districts further south along the north coast here that do have fairly significant supplies this year. Sonoma County and Marin County both have about normal water, which is unusual. The rest of the state's very dry.
So given the situation just within your own water district, are you still subject to the drought cutback requirements ordered by Governor Brown?
Yes, we went through the process of working with the State Water Board as they were developing their regulations to make sure that they understood what the conditions were up here. And they came up with a special tier for areas like ours where we do have a multi-year water supply. So most of our customers and we have been able to get a requirement that we have to conserve 4% this year.
4%?
Yes.
So not even close to the 25% that has been listed as the target for most places.
Well, the 25% is a statewide average. Mm-hmm. The numbers vary around the state, and it depends upon where people started back in 2014 as to which category they fall into. So the places in the warmer areas in the state where people use 300 or 400 gallons per day per person, those are the ones that the Water Board targeted. And their main focus is to identify ways that people can reduce their use on landscaping.
4% sounds like a pretty easily attainable thing. I mean, have you even gotten to anything beyond the suggestion stage for what people should do to reduce their water use?
Oh, yeah. In our area here, all of the water agencies have adopted use restrictions. I think the standard is telling people not to water more than 2 days a week. And frankly, driving around Eureka and Arcata, you don't see very many green lawns. So people are taking it seriously.
Okay. They really are getting into the groove there. Let's talk about the long-term solutions for using the water right that you're entitled to at the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Alderon, you've been obviously in this for several years now. First of all, what was the reason the old pulp mills left, and how difficult is it to bring in somebody who would potentially use that much water in a similar industry, or maybe something totally different, like, I don't know, a Budweiser plant or something?
Well, we've actually looked into beverages companies and things like that, but When you compare the various industries, there's nothing that even comes close to using the amount of water that a pulp mill does. It's so water intensive. I think that was one of the reasons why the pulp mills located here in the 50s and early 60s was because we had our own water supply that was pretty reliable. The water supply was built specifically to serve the pulp mills that were moving to Humboldt Bay. And so it's really an industrial-sized system. It wasn't built just to serve the seven municipalities around Humboldt Bay. So the reason why the pulp mills left it's just global economics. The pulp mill, the last operating pulp mill, was actually owned by a Chinese company, and they were using the pulp to make cardboard boxes. They would ship the pulp to the raw pulp to China, make cardboard boxes, and turn around and ship his products back. So that was the last use, and when the recession hit in 2008, they just folded up and left, and a new owner bought the mill and was unable to find anybody else interested in relocating here in California. So I believe there's no pulp mills in California.
Not a single one. Wow. No. That's pretty amazing. And I noticed recently driving through the Albany area that one of the major mills in Oregon is gone as well, mm-hmm. right next to Interstate 5. The process, then, of trying to get anybody else who would use the land for industrial purposes, I mean, I have to believe that there are other entities besides just the water district getting involved here. Who else is working at trying to attract business that might be able to use up some of the water that that is available?
Well, the Humboldt Bay Harbor District acquired the old pulp mill after the last property owner put it on the market to sell. And so they've been trying to repurpose it. And right now they've been pretty successful in encouraging a number of aquaculture firms to locate there. And so we're hoping that one of the aquaculture operations would need a fresh water source. And so we've been collaborating and partnering with the Harbor District, who's trying to recruit somebody to come in that would do some bulk manufacturing that would help the harbor with its revenue needs. And our pipeline goes right to that property and facility, so they're obviously trying to market something that needs a reliable water source.
You mentioned beverage companies. Has there been? I know that that bottled water is a pretty sore spot across California these days, particularly when you talk to the folks in the Mount Shasta area. What? How extensive have the discussions gotten there?
We, the last owner of the pulp mill, looked into creating a bottled water plant using our water, and primarily for shipping overseas, I think, to the Asian market. And I apparently didn't pencil out, or that businessman would have pursued it. And obviously, if anybody comes to us with a valid use for the water in California, we would be obligated to provide them that water because we have it available.
We're talking about the issues with the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District on the California side with Alderon Laird, board member, Paul Heliker, new director at the district. You can join us on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Rika in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
Any area that has good surface water, lots of it, should be using it for irrigation, specifically sprinkler irrigation, where you throw it in the air and a lot of it evaporates. And that would send rain uphill and upwind, or downwind, uphill and downwind, up into the mountains to refill the aquifers and the rivers.
So that's what you're saying happens with sprinkling?
Yes, that's what was happening in the 80s when this valley here in the Rogue Valley, we were using a lot of the land, we were sprinkler irrigating it, and we were getting thunderstorms nearly every week. And they were getting bigger thunderstorms up in Medford and even bigger ones back in over in Klamath Falls.
Is it possible?
The water built up going east.
Mm-hmm. Possible that we're talking correlation and not causality there?
Well, I did a study on this, and the correlation's pretty strong.
All right, we'll take it from there.
You know, it just makes sense, because that's how the water cycle works. You know, it has to evaporate in order to get into the air to make clouds and make rain. And you get a lot more evaporation from sprinkler irrigation than you do from letting it flow in the river or drip or anything else.
All right, thanks, Rick. Appreciate that. Gentlemen, have either one of you ever heard a theory quite along those lines before?
No, I haven't. We've looked into agricultural use of the water, but most of the farms, in our area rely on shallow wells or they're dry farmers. So we haven't found anybody that wants to move up and start raising rice. But there's been a lot of talk about raising marijuana and focusing that in the Arcata area. So maybe if they get together and form a co-op, maybe we could sell them some water.
If, for example, California does what Oregon has done and make marijuana legal for personal use, is that a potential game changer for the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District?
I don't know. It would depend on, really if they want to create a focused agricultural endeavor down in the Mad River bottom where our water line traverses. The city of Arcata is looking at coming up with actually a marijuana business zone to foster the development of, products and growing, indoor growing. But they would just get their water from our municipal source, so that wouldn't really have much of an impact. I don't know how much of an agricultural impact that would ever have, but it appears to be the only agricultural product that has a lot of interest these days, and that is growing up in Humboldt.
Are there any restrictions on using water that is designated for domestic use for agricultural use, or is water law pretty much blind to use, Paul Hellecker?
Counts as a beneficial use is typically authorized by the State Water Board. And in our case, we have, like I said, up to 84,000 acre feet of water per year that can be used either for domestic or industrial purposes. Whether or not we'd need to have any modification to that to have it designated as a supply for agriculture, I don't know. But I think throughout the state, agriculture certainly qualifies as a use. And in this case, like Alderon was saying, if there is a possibility to use that water on crops, marijuana crops, I think we'd like to see that as an option.
Paul, we haven't talked that timeline here yet, and it is fairly far off in the future, as I understand. I mean, any curtailment of water right is at least a decade, almost a decade and a half away, isn't it?
2029 is our date that we're looking at. We've got in 2004, we asked for an extension of the time frame during which we're supposed to demonstrate that we can use that water, and that date is 2029. So as that approaches, we'll be discussing with the State Water Board what the situation is. We may ask for an extension, although they have told us that they're skeptical about authorizing another extension. If we do have our water right modified so that that's the only water that we have available, the water that we currently deliver now, there would have to be other users who would come in and petition to use that extra water that's available for anybody to be above us in terms of priority. So there's a whole process that would go with that. But there is risk, and that's what the Water District is looking at, is why we want to make sure that we can keep control of that water supply.
All right, another call here from Steve in Fortuna. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking Humboldt Bay Water with Paul Hellecker and Alderon Laird.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
I was calling. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine.
Great. I have some type of problem here. Back in the day when we started all this, that they had taken the water bonds out to pay for this, for the pipe. There was thousands of feet of pipe back in the 60s when they built this thing. I don't know if it took a couple years to build it, but I believe that they had water bonds for the people in the area here to paid for this, and I don't know if the bonds are paid for yet. They might be. It was back in the 60s, but I think it should be up to the folks that were up for paying the water bond for doing this to designate where that their water that they had paid for all this to go to. What do you think?
All right, interesting question and point there, Steve. Thanks for that. So, Paul or Alderon, what's the status of any outstanding debt that needs to be paid by the district?
We paid for all of the bonds. They got paid off early in the 60s. The Water District owns the entire water operation, lock, stock, and barrel. It's it's ours. We're not part of the state system. We own the dam. We own the pumps, and we own all of the transmission pipelines that distribute the water, particularly the industrial system that takes the water down to the Samoa Peninsula. So, the constituents who paid for the Water District or paid for the bonds, obviously the two pulp mills generated a lot of revenue to pay off those bonds. So the municipalities were really the beneficiary of that. But we have five board members that are elected by the local constituents, and that's why we went back to the community to ask them what they thought of these ideas. We didn't want to present an idea that didn't have community support, and after that process, we felt pretty good that we had vetted the ideas, and we were told to go forward and see if we can find any new customers. If we can't, you know, the water will just stay in Ruth Reservoir and Mad River, and we'll continue to benefit it that way.
So we talked about new businesses, and we talked about in-stream benefits. The other option we haven't talked much about is the idea of selling water to another agency. And you'd mentioned potentially barging or using a pipeline, Alderman. How do the economics pencil out for either of those options? Does it look worthwhile to the water agency on the receiving end to go through that expense?
Well, we looked at barging, and it turns out it would cost somewhere between, you know, $7,000 and $8,000 an acre foot. And to put that in perspective, water that's generated by desalination plants would sell between $2,000 and $2,500 an acre foot. So barging water would be extremely expensive. So anybody on the receiving end, any water agency on the receiving end, would find water in other sources that's considerably cheaper. So we've not pursued that anymore once we realized it's not economically feasible at this time. We did look into running pipelines and what it would cost to build the pipeline and how much we'd have to charge for the water. And that makes it much more competitive with desalination water. We could deliver water by pipe anywhere between $2,000 and $3,500 an acre foot. Obviously, we'd have to find a water agency on the receiving end that would want to partner with us and pay for the building of that pipeline, which would be a substantial project in and of itself. So we are presently talking with water agencies up and down the North Coast and in the Bay Area to see if anybody's interested in pursuing this. And this kind of ties back into your earlier question about the timing, and that, well, 2029 is when our water right expires. We need to do this probably 10 or 15 years in advance just because the state is so slow in processing water right permits.
Okay, so a lot of work lies ahead. We'll finish up with a water song here. I want to thank Alderman Laird, board member, and Paul Hellicker, director at the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.
You're welcome.